Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. There's an old article from Reader's Digest, written by a man who's telling the story about a band of gypsies who stopped to drink from a well that was located in the courtyard of his childhood home. He was about 5 years old at the time and remembers being fascinated by one gypsy in particular. This gypsy, who looked like a giant to this little boy, had pulled a bucket full of water out of the well and was standing there drinking, holding this large wooden pail as if it weighed no more than a teacup. When he finished, he mopped his face with a scarf and then leaned over and looked deep into the well. Curious, the little boy tried to pull himself up the well's stone rim to see what he was looking at. Well, when the gypsy noticed the boy, he smiled, scooped him up in his arms, and said, "Do you know who lives down there?" The boy shook his head, and the gypsy said, "God lives there. Look," and he held the boy over the rim of the well. There, in the still, mirror-like water, the boy saw his own reflection, and he said, "But that's me." "Yes," said the gypsy, and as he gently set the boy down, he said, "Now you know where God lives." Indeed, and as Christians, we are assured through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that God lives in all who believe in Christ. For on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord made this promise to his disciples, saying, "I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." We know where God lives through the person and work of Jesus Christ, by the precious blood that was poured out for our redemption. God lives in each one of us. And this profound, miraculous, mystical union involves every member of the Holy Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit have come unto us, and they have made their home within each one of us. By the grace of God, we were scooped up into the arms of our Father in heaven, and there he revealed to us the unimaginable truth that God no longer dwells among his people in a tabernacle in the wilderness, or with his people in a temple in Jerusalem, but in his people, in the temple which is our body. As St. Paul declared, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Our bodies have been purchased, ransomed, redeemed by the atoning sacrifice of our Lord. We were bought at a price of infinite value, and the truth that God now lives in us, that the bodies of all who believe in Christ are the temple of the Holy Spirit, it's a truth that we must cling to if we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. In our epistle this morning, St. James makes a comparison that just about any adult can relate to. If you're anything like me, you've stood in front of a mirror under a light that was maybe a little too bright and thought, "Who is that person staring back at me?" You know, as I go about my day, I'm sure that I have more hair, a strong, rugged, good looks, but when I take a close look in the mirror, the flaws and scars that are not always noticeable from my subjective and very deceptive point of view are quickly revealed. A good mirror and a bright light allow us to clearly see our physical appearance. But the truth isn't always flattering. And there comes a day for most of us when we decide that it's better not to study these things too closely. We know that we're deceiving ourselves, but it's easier and it is more flattering to take a quick look in the mirror and then go our way, forgetting the actual image and replacing it with one of our own imagination. We must admit, humans are really good at deceiving themselves. And St. James brings this fact to our attention in order to warn us about a particular type of self-deception. His real concern is not the way we deceive ourselves about our physical appearance. His concern is the way we deceive ourselves by overlooking, ignoring those defects and blemishes in our souls. James tells Christians in this passage that those who hear the word of God and do not embrace its promises, stand in awe of its power, or obey its commandments, are those who deceive themselves. They're like a man who takes a quick look in the mirror and then turns away so that he can get on with his day without the bother of having to bring his soul into conformity with the truth of what the law and the gospel require. The sermon we heard last Sunday, it brings to mind an example of such a man. On Good Friday, as God in the person of Jesus Christ stood before a man that he created, a man who was given the power to crucify him or to set him free, our Lord said to Pontius Pilate, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" And saying this, he went out again. On that day, Pilate came face to face with truth itself. But instead of asking his question sincerely and then waiting patiently for an answer, Pilate quickly went out again. Just like a man who looks in the mirror and then goes his own way. The only truth that was of any concern to Pilate was his own truth. This man who committed the most unthinkable crime had deceived himself so completely that he even made a public show of his own self-proclaimed innocence by taking water and washing his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I'm innocent of the blood of this man." No, not so fast, Pilate. Take a look in the mirror. The fact that Pilate could so dramatically and publicly profess his own innocence as he simultaneously gave the order to crucify Jesus, it's a somber lesson for all of us. Clearly, humans are so good at self-deception that we can convince ourselves anything we do is right. That's a frightening and convicting thought. And it brings us back to where this sermon began. Because the only way to avoid self-deception is to cling to the truth. The truth that has come unto us and has made his home within each one of us. We know where God lives. And as creatures made in his image and likeness, who are blessed with the dignity and freedom of personhood, we must be those who choose to objectively measure all we do by standing in front of the mirror under bright light. the mirror that St. James speaks of is the Word of God. And the light by which we see ourselves is God's only Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the light of the world. As we patiently and prayerfully search the Scriptures in His light, they tell us plainly what manner of man we are. Unlike Pilate, we humbly stand before our Lord as those who seek truth and desire to bring every aspect of ourselves, our souls, and bodies into conformity with the truth of God's holy word and God's holy will. And while we must admit that left alone, humans are really good at deceiving themselves, by His grace, we have not been left comfortless. We are children who have been scooped up into the arms of our Father in heaven. And the glorious truth is that God hasn't set us back down. No, He continues through His indwelling Holy Spirit to hold us in His loving embrace, revealing the truth that He lives in each and every one of us. May the light of His great love shine on us and in us, to the end that He might shine through us, bearing witness of the truth to the world He gave His life to save. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever.